This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 243, brought to you by Comedy Central's Ugly Americans, discount comic book service, and iFanboy listeners like you.
They wrote a song about you and took care to leave all the saddest parts out. So when I sang along, I never believed you could ever get so down. To say it isn't so, no, not you.
Hello and welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 243. My name is Connor Kilpatrick and I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hey, Connor.
And Josh Flanagan.
I guess.
Well,
we're going to get you peppy, buddy.
I guess.
We are iFanboy.com. We like comics. We read comics. Every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks the best one, writes about it on the website. We talk about it on the podcast, along with various topics of interest, other books of the week, all kinds of great stuff. We're positive. We like comics.
We love them.
Whatever. Woo!
This week,
Reality Bites was on TV today. So,
and stay tuned for the end of the show. We're going to talk about San Diego and all of our appearances and all the ways you can see us and have fun in San Diego with us. Put a smile on that face. You had the pick of the week.
I did have the pick of the week, and I think there's nothing to make you feel more upbeat than an issue of Day Tripper.
I know, Jesus Christ.
There's nothing to do. I had a lot of books this week that I would have considered five. A lot of good, tasty reads. One of the things I noticed this week was that I didn't buy many superhero books at all. From Marvel or DC, I had a lot of other books, and I was enjoying the variety. And There's a lot of really good things, and I decided at the end of my stack, and I was looking at it all, and nothing really had stood out to me while I was reading, but when I went back and thought about it, I went Day Tripper number 8, but from Vertigo by Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba. I still don't. Do we know who does what on this?
Nope.
No.
No. Okay.
I don't
fine.
Care.
And I don't know. I don't care either.
It's collaboration.
Yeah. I like their organic collaboration. The reason that I decided I went with this is that, you know, the last couple issues, all the issues have been good. There's no doubting that at all. But the last couple issues of Day Tripper, I have been wondering a little bit of, all right, I get it. Maybe 10 issues is too many, something like that. But at the same time, like, I still found myself really moved by this one. And I basically, here's your giant spoiler, I guess, if this is the thing. Each issue, you've probably heard this on the show before, each issue is about the death of a man named Braz. And, like, it's just an alternate reality take on every and on a different version of him in every issue. And they've all been pretty sad. Most have been very well done. Some stood out more than others. They all have sort of a different take on them. It's actually a really interesting writing exercise to see sort of how each one, they're just like telling a different story with the same very basic framework. And in this one, it's the story, Braz is away on, he's an author in most of them, I think. He's away on a business trip. He's doing a book tour, and you see the whole story from the point of view of his wife and their small child, Miguel. And he's never in this. He only exists in this through like a note here or there and other people's memories and a voicemail message. And that's it. And based on that, like, you still feel for him. I just thought it was really nice. It was a really elegant technique of sort of making you feel the loss of somebody that you've never met, you know, in the case of this one issue.
But the funny thing about that is that through the previous 7 issues, I feel as if I knew him. Like, I was missing him in this issue.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's why I think this issue worked at 8 as opposed to like 2.
I agree, but yeah. I am really curious how this would run to somebody who hadn't read the rest of them, because sure. I think it would still be effective.
Yes.
It's my guess.
It would be effective in a different way.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. But the thing is, because Braz is a different, I don't know how to pronounce Brazilian, by the way. I'm just going to go ahead and
say Braz.
Braz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sexy.
Yeah, sexy. Way yeah, sexy. Yeah.
And, well, in this one, he's constantly leaving these romantic poems. And don't get me wrong, they're cheesy, but certain dudes can pull that off.
Yep.
And I have no doubt in my mind that the brothers here who are doing this book can pull off lines like this. Yeah. I've met them very briefly. I've heard stories, and I couldn't pull that off. I wake up, I fall in love with you like that day at the bakery.
Well, no, the voicemail is the one that got me. Where I was like, oh come on! It's like if I said that, she'd laugh at me.
That's because we're pasty.
Yeah,
and there's nothing, you know. Mysterious or swarthy.
What was it? It's like, so I saw a couple walking in the street today with 2 kids and a little dog. They seemed happy. It was like I was looking in a mirror. I'll be back in a couple of days and we'll take a walk and be mirrors of happiness too. Like, wow.
It's true. And
sexy.
Like,
I want to sleep with them.
I absolutely admit that this is completely melodramatic. There's no doubt in my mind. It's like overly romantic and melodramatic, but it does work.
Yep.
You know, like, it hits all those things. You know, for me, I make no mistake no shame of the fact that I'm a weepy cry ball. Ever since I've had my wife is pregnant. I'll weep at a second. And the little kid in this, you know, and you know what's going to happen. And the way that they drew him is just exuding this like childhood innocence with those big round eyes and that hopefulness they put in him. And they just paint this picture of a couple and a family who are completely in love with one another. And it's just
tragic.
It is. It's terribly tragic. And we've been through this so many times. And like, to me, like, the best page in this is she gets a phone call, and you see her eyes. Like, they don't say what happened. You see her eyes get big, and then you flip the page, and it's a shot of his empty desk. You pull out. You see like his empty office suite, and it's just like, oh god, that's.
They did something with eyes in this issue, like different than the other issues. There's that page when she gets the phone call and you see her eyes welling, and then when you the 2 pages later when Miguel's in class and it's supposed to be like career day for the parents and he's reading like what about what his father did, and that middle panel where he just looks up, like I nearly lost it there.
I'm getting like the chills right now looking at it. That happened to me like as I was looking through the book as I was writing it. Like I was like, wow, this keeps affecting me. And because of that, like I was just like, that gets the prize, you know, that gets the pick, because it really, was effective at what it was doing. And in the art, I mean, they're masters at this point. I really think that, you know, in terms of acting, like, this isn't realistic, but it evokes humanity more than anything else that I can think of. You know, they're people.
Totally. The one thing, just a little less melodramatic and drama or whatever, but the one thing I liked about this issue was, I want to know what kind of crazy computers they have in Brazil where they use pens. Yeah. Just like, I was like, ooh, what is that? Like, clicking the pen on the screen to open up the email. It was like,
they've never used computers. It's, that's like, my guess.
It's like Star Trek stuff.
They're too busy romancing people to have computers.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, I think it's interesting is whether or not this comes together, because there's only two more issues, and so far the nothing has changed structure-wise. I think people will probably freak out, a good portion of people, if there's not some sort of moment that makes sense. I don't think it needs to.
Yeah.
It's an examination of a theme over and over in different ways. I mean, each issue has been sort of different aspects of death and life.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what this book's about, is about examining the human condition from different
meditations.
Angles. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be issue 10. We're going to say Bra's in an alternate dimension lording over his alternate world. I think it's just going to be.
They find out that this version of Brazil is actually purgatory. And,
he goes to a church. And
they were all just waiting for Miguel to die.
Yeah.
It turns out. One of the things that kept coming up in the comments was, oh, I'm going to wait for this in trade. I'm going to do this. And like, this is really, I think, one of those examples of something that reading in issues is going to help. Because the fact is, I don't want to read all these stories right away in one go. It really works well as an issue. You don't have to remember anything from time to time, and it becomes just foggy enough by the time that the next one comes that you have to re-ingratiate yourself in the world every time, and it works really nicely like that. This is an example of issues done in a really cool way. Now, it's not for everybody, obviously, but really well done. I would say
if you do get the trade, if you're one of those people that do, then you should read an issue, put it down
for a month,
read the next one, put it down. It's much better that way. If you read all these in a row, I think you'll lose the emotional impact.
Well, let's see what happens with issue 9 and 10. I mean, maybe there will be something that we're not expecting. And,
if the Beyonder shows up,
you're out.
Greatest series of all time.
Yeah.
So, am I the only person that bought Superman 701?
I held it in the store, and then I put it back.
Here's what I know. I looked on the site at the reviews, and they are either, this was fantastic, or this was garbage. It was fives or ones. That's all there was. I want to know where Connor Kilpatrick
is. This would have been a lot more fun if you guys had been able to talk about this with me.
Is it bad?
You know how I used to do the Archie report? I think I'm going to do the Superman on the Road report for the rest of the...
Oh, you totally should.
All right, we're going to put aside the whole poison concept and the slap and all that stuff, because it's...
We talked about that already. Yeah.
It's stupid. It's dumb. Yeah. But move on. He's on the road now. He's doing his walk.
Like Brand New Day versus One More Day or whatever. You know, story happened.
What's done is done. Move on. Yep.
Now, so first of all, so I don't totally say bad things about this issue. Eddie Barrow's art was fantastic. I didn't know how he would work because he's a much more of a dynamic guy. He's a big action artist. He does those big 2-page spreads of action that are really, really strong. But here, this is all about Superman walking through neighborhoods, so I didn't know how that would work, but he does a really good job here. The art's really strong, and I think J. Michael Straczynski, the writer, does a really good Superman character-wise. He's got a sense of humor. He gets annoyed. He's a real person. That's always the way I like Superman to be drawn, written, and not as a boring Boy Scout. So that in that sense, he's got a really good character's voice for Superman. But then you reach the problems in the story, and the problems are internally, right, so the idea is Superman is now walking the Earth to reconnect with the people, and he's in Philadelphia. He helps some guys who have a broken down car.
You can't say walk the Earth without saying Kane.
All I can hear now is like, I'm trying to be the shepherd, and that's it.
I'm gonna walk the Earth like Kane from Kung Fu.
The media is following him around in a big pack, and they're trying to figure out why he's walking, and they don't believe him that he's just walking for no reason.
Oh, so he's Forrest Gump.
Yes, and now the dumb thing with the media is, okay, in the DC universe, I think we could all agree that Superman is the most famous person in the world.
Yes.
Right? Clearly, he would be the most famous person in the world. Eventually, in this issue, the media gets bored and leaves.
Sure, we're going to follow Lindsay Lohan around every day of our lives for 5 years, but Superman...
Right.
Superman's walking for no reason, and we're going to just walk away and leave in this 24-hour news cycle, 24-hour news channel world.
In a world where Jeremy London gets as much press as he's gotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CNN can spare a crew, but they can't spare a crew for Superman, is what you're saying in this world. Right.
So he needs a way to have Superman be alone, so he just has the media get bored and leave, which was the first dumb thing. The second dumb thing is he comes across these, he's in a diner eating, and these guys say that they've had all these problems with drug dealers in the neighborhood. Could he come help? So he goes over there, and he gets some 70s-era jive talk from the drug dealers.
Nice.
About how his costume looks like from Project Runway and all this. Like I've never seen Superman.
If I'm not mistaken, and I want to, but don't a lot of the brothers think that it is a one bad outfit?
And then, so Superman blows all their stash with his heat vision, and then he leaves. And the little boy in the neighborhood's like, but they're just going to come back. And he says, well, tell them if they come back, I'm going to come back. So they've got to move. And he says, well, if you move, they're going to do the same thing somewhere else. And he's kind of like, eh, that'll be their problem. And he walks away.
Cue the Wire credits.
This is Superman. Superman doesn't take down the drug dealers. He just pushes them to another neighborhood.
Oh, listen, man. This is as crazy as Archie.
He's walking gentrification.
Listen, Bunny Colvin knew there was nothing you could do about it, and now Kal-El knows it too.
Oh, wait a minute. That's the quote for the cover. He's walking gentrification. iFanboy.com.
But then there's a jumper in downtown Philadelphia, and he flies up to her, and she says, "Don't touch me. I don't want you to touch me. I'm gonna jump." And he says, "Okay, if you want to jump, jump."
Yeah. I
don't think he should be allowed to fly.
Oh my god.
Well, he's trying not to fly. He flies twice. This against his better.
He should have to take the elevator or stairs. Is what I'm saying.
To me, the problem is, I think the idea is could be interesting, and I think his character work is good, but just the situations he's being put in are really kind of dumb.
Yep, agreed.
And I don't know how long this is supposed to go for. I don't know if we can do this in every town.
We're pushing for relevance.
Well, he's in Philly, right?
Yeah. Well, this issue's in Philly. He leaves Philly by the end.
Why did he choose Philly?
Because he's in Metropolis, and presumably Metropolis and Philadelphia are close. He walked out of Metropolis.
Oh yeah, Philly's like Baltimore. I mean, Metropolis is like Baltimore, right? Or is that Gotham?
Well, it's nebulously on the East Coast.
Yeah.
But it's well known that J. Michael Straczynski his expertise is on urban plights.
Oh man,
it's
bizarre.
Something occurred to me, and I'm really curious that like this is all tied up in, especially on our site, because you know like I've talked about not being a fan, and it's all, I'm really curious how people would react to this story. They didn't know who the writer was.
Yeah.
It's something that I've been going over in my head. Like, because there's a lot of baggage one way or the other attached with the writer's name on this. I mean, it's bearing out from what you're explaining to me. It's exactly the kind of thing that I don't like from that writer. But I didn't read it, so I don't really know.
And there's a handful of good moments, but they're really outweighed by the dumb drug dealer moment, the woman on the ledge moment, the media walking away from the most famous man in the world who decided to walk the earth moment. It's just
so. How long do you stick with this?
Oh, I think it'll be fun. I'm gonna stick to the whole thing.
Oh, you think it'll be ridiculous?
Yeah. It was entertaining.
It was, in that way.
don't get me wrong. I had a good time.
I had a good time going, what?
So this is like Nick Cage Ghost Rider.
Yes.
All right, good. All right, good.
I had a good time going, what? Are you crazy? On the other hand, Officer Down cleansed the palate.
Officer Down.
This was very, very close to Pick of the Week also. I just didn't want to write the same review that I wrote for my last Pick of the Week. For Sea Bear and Grizzly Shark.
Oh, right, yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of fun. It was stupid as hell. I didn't care.
Upside Down, a one-shot from Image Comics written by Joe Casey, drawn by Chris Burnham, about a super cop who can't die.
This is basically Joe doing American Judge Dredd.
Yep.
And with the resurrection aspect in it, but that's basically ultra-violent, super cop cleaning up the streets.
Versus Psycho? Is he a Psycho Ninja? Was that what the guy was?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. There was at some point there's like a Japanese castle full of crime lords with animal heads.
Yep.
There's a buzzard and a lion, and then there's just all these ninjas. It was
all I know is that at the end of it I want more from this world. And the last four pages, I think, made me laugh out loud more than anything. The double page spread of Officer Down on the motorcycle with the pullover cocksuckers on the motorcycle, and he's got the iPod in. It's a great thing. And then turning the page to the two page spread, the end with the little scenes in the letters, just made me laugh. I don't know why. I'm just
like, no, this and th- th- I mean this is This is also it's that, but it's also hard boiled. I mean, this is Jeff Darrow and Frank Miller. This is all those things.
And Burnham's a Darrow fan. You could tell.
Think?
Yeah, I know. But I think honestly, you compare this to Nixon's Pals, and Burnham's getting good.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah. Burnham's getting really good.
Well, Nixon's Pals is black and white, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, the thing is, what you were saying is that I laughed many times as I was reading this.
Yep.
Many, many. They sucked. He punched a guy in his face, and then they had to pull the face off of the fist.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
And then he went after them with his stump. He kept getting stabbed in the eye, and he kept going. It was just retarded.
It was great. This was great. This is so much fun to read. It was hysterical.
This is one of those things, like, if you like, there's a way to do big, dumb fun that's, like, really fun, and there's a way to do it that you feel really stupid, and this is the best parts of both of those.
I love the sunglasses and the mustache combination.
He had to have a mustache.
Oh, had to have a mustache, yeah.
That's why it can't be Judge Dredd, because Judge Dredd, that's not a mustache guy. This is a mustache guy.
Well, this is American, that's why. I mean, Judge Dredd is British, so yeah, let's go. I mean, yeah, but
thank you.
Well, no, but I mean, you know what I mean.
If you read the issue, Chris Burnham, the artist, on his website is having a contest. You should go check it out there to guess the subtle in-jokes in the book, and you win a page of original art from the book.
So a really nice page, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, great stuff.
No, it's any page. It's
any page.
Oh, I thought it was the page he gave us as the sample.
No, any it's page. Any,
except for the double page spreads.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Sucker's page.
I want that pull-up.
That's a double page spread.
Yeah,
that was beautiful though.
Yeah, that was great. So
go get this.
You know,
just read it.
It came from Image Comics. It was $4.99, but it's thick. I mean, it's worth it. I mean, this is a one shot. Yeah, no ads. It's a great one shot. It's like a little mini graphic novel.
I don't want to get an email. What do I need to read Officer Downs?
Nothing. Just read it. English. You know what surprised the hell out of me? Also from Image was Sweets by Cody Chamberlain.
Beautiful.
The first issue came out, and it was $2.99. And for $2.99, this is some amazing, beautiful art.
Yeah, this was pick of the week right up until the last few pages. Not because it did anything wrong. It's just because I got a little lost at the end, and I was like, I'm going to understand it when the next issue comes out.
Yes, I agree. It got a little kludgy at the end.
But I think it's part of, like, I was confused, but I think you're supposed to be.
No, and that's fine, but that would have been the thing that kept me. One of the really nice things was there's a really cool stylistic thing where he's using, I'm sure it's just an effect, but the Zipitone as a shadow, and then he switches styles completely and goes into this 16-panel grid.
Very cartoony, sketchy kind of, look. And it was, I mean, what really impressed me about this is, and just, so people know what the story, I mean, it's billed on the cover, Sweets, a New Orleans crime story. So it's basically a noirish, even though that's overused, a crime story in New Orleans. But what impressed me was just the thought outness of the package of everything. And I was really impressed by the photo after the last page, which I guess that's Cody Chamberlain in his work, in his studio. And it just, like, from the look of the logo to the look of the pages to, just, like, this feels like a thought-out project. And it just feels so complete,
It says he's been working on it for a long time.
Yeah, and you could tell.
Really just a good start. I mean, it's a cop story. There's a broken-down cop who no one likes and an impossible-to-solve mystery, blah, 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 But it's in New Orleans, which has its own flavor.
Yeah, an intrigue with the local government and all, I mean, like, it hit on all the right notes, I think. So it was great. Good stuff. So what else was good this week was that the Second Coming crossover in the X-Men finally ended, which is, bittersweet because I've been really enjoying it. X-Men Second Coming number 2 was the last chapter, chapter 14. Didn't love this as much as I thought I would.
People complained a lot. I saw about
it was rough. Well, they chose to have a chapter of each four chapters in the book, each done by the main writers throughout the whole crossover, which is cool, which is a way to get everybody involved. But it just felt kind of disconnected, and it felt like I didn't feel like the cohesiveness, that I would have liked to have seen from it. And basically, this was like, as opposed to the final chapter, this is more like the epilogue. This is all like the kind of after it's all been done. And basically, our main beats in this were that, it's all, everyone survived, that they saved the world. Cable gets buried. They have a funeral for Cable. Everybody in costume, which I always find weird. Like sometimes they go to funerals in suits, and sometimes they go in costume, which is just
well, there a memo.
Yeah, but
if you watched the anthology episode I did, you know that due to from the caption that in the Marvel Universe costumes are considered formal wear.
I know, I did see that. But there was a ridiculous scene between Wolverine and Storm over the whole X-Force killing people, where Storm basically says to Wolverine that they're done, they're never going to talk again because she can't abide him killing people, even though he's been killing for years. But anyway, yeah.
Yes.
So
he's on what, six, eight, five teams now?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, yeah. Anyway, but so essentially, Cyclops tells him to stop doing the X-Force thing, but he decides to do it on his own. And then it basically ends with more mutant signals popping up, like they all of a sudden Cerebro starts pinging, and there are like five mutants that have been identified around the world. So the idea that now the whole no more mutants thing is over, and that's where and I really like that as a status quo for the X-Men. I like that now mutants are going to emerge back in the world, and they're going to go back to, like, remember, like the what made the Dark Phoenix saga so much fun in the beginning was that, like, oh, we have a mutant in Chicago, let's go find them. Yep. And they go find him, and they bring him into the fold and all stuff like that. So if they play that up more than the Cyclops' army, you know, like us against the world type thing, I like that direction. But then Uncanny X-Men The Heroic Age came out, and you would think that this was a throwaway, like one of those little just throwaway one-shot anthologies, but this was fantastic. I mean, this was my pick of the week. And admittedly, I know I'm an X-Men nerd and all that stuff, but this was three stories, all written by Fraction, focusing on Cyclops with art by Wills Portacio, Beast with art by Steve Sanders, who did Sword, and Hope by Jamie McKelvey. And it just kind of rotated through each of those stories, and it basically the gist of it and the real driving force of it is the Cyclops story. Cyclops goes to the Savage Land to kind of take it easy and runs into Steve Rogers. Don't ask me what Steve Rogers is doing in the Savage Land. Well, Emma told him that Cyclops is there. But Steve Rogers basically finds Cyclops and is like, listen, you know, you saved your people. You're a hero, and it's time for the X-Men. You know, we're in the Age of Heroes. He doesn't say that. He probably should have. But he says it's time.
We're in the Age of Heroes. He's going to put the banner above him.
Yeah, heroes.
Yeah. But he says it's time for the X-Men to stop being in the shadows. It's time for you guys to step into the light. And you guys are heroes. Let everyone else see that. And Cyclops does the whole, oh, well, you know, people hate us, we're feared. And Steve goes, yeah, well, let me handle that. And basically Steve arranges for the president to give Scott a Medal of Honor. And they do it in the press. And there's a big deal and a big party in San Francisco when he arrives. So now it's like what I find funny is that it's – remember when Joss Whedon started Astonishing X-Men and the premise was the X-Men are going to be heroes again?
Yes.
And that quickly got shuffled, like got scuttled very quickly. It feels like that's the point that we're at now. And if that's the case, then the future could be awesome. So
in a way, Chewbacca finally got his medal.
Yeah, in a way.
In a way. It's interesting. It's funny because you say, I know it's my pick of the week and I know that I'm an X-Men fan. But people don't understand is that you never make X-Men books your pick of the week.
I never do. I think that's fair.
They're usually terrible.
No.
So when one of them is good, it is a unique situation.
Yes.
How do we end up with Hope? Where do we end up with that?
Basically, she's going to go to Alaska to try to find her parents.
Who is she?
We don't know. She's going to go try to find her parents. That's we're going to find out who she is now. So.
Okay. So.
But from what it seems as if she has, it seems as if she has all the power. She has all the mutants' powers, and she apparently is the spark that now is allowing other mutants to appear. So
she's the Ultra Humanite.
I guess so. Apparently, the other funny note is that in the last scene, McKelvey draws Cyclops talking to Hope in a nice little kind of touching kind of, you know, they kind of make their peace, and Cyclops tells her she can go to Alaska. But Jamie draws Cyclops with a very mod haircut, which I thought was funny. Like all of a sudden, Cyclops looks really good. Like he's in a nice, he's in a very smart suit, and he's got a mod haircut. It's like, so, but yeah, it was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it. It surprised me. So,
One of the other books from the farther corners of the comic book world that came out this week was The Sixth Gun number 2. First one was a free comic book day from Oni, but you could have also bought the first one this week if you wanted to. This is a supernatural western by Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt, who did The Damned. And it's getting a lot of good buzz around the internet, and I'd say that's with good reason.
This is right up your guys' alley.
If this is the kind of thing you want to read, yeah. That's a key.
That's the
key. Yeah, you know what? This felt – it almost felt like you could have dug this comic out, and it could have come out in an earlier time. Because it was just like kind of classic, and you know, like, it was just there's bad guys, and the bad guy's raised from the dead, and he wants his gun, and there's lots of shooting, and high adventure, and there's, you know, there's, like, the mysterious good guy, and then the cranky, ornery, like, you know, his helper, and he doesn't seem to like anybody or know what's going on, but they, you know, all these undead hordes, but they're cowboys, invade it was like a saloon, and there's a big shootout, and then finally some dynamite goes off, and they run away, and then, you know, where are we with the mystery? And it was fun. It was really, it was great.
It's very sort of 70s horror comic.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. And also, we should be noted that in The Damned, Brian Hirt was black, and his art was black and white. Here, it's in color, and it's really nice.
Yeah,
I think he's someone who's always been great, but I really think this is some of his best work. It's a gorgeous looking book too. I'm just being.
Yeah, oh, he was saying story. He's really proud of this issue.
Yeah,
you could see they're just putting a lot of love into the pages.
Yeah,
and it's the kind
it's
of thing.
It's a lot
like,
of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's one of those things like it stinks of being a story that the people who are telling it really want to tell, and nobody's getting in their way about it. Like, oh, like this is like a story, the kind of thing that you've wanted to do for a long time, and it finally broke out and made it to a page and into your hands. And it, you know, it's fun. It's big Western supernatural fun. Not overly complicated in any way, but just a good time. So definitely worth reading.
Demons with Six Shooters.
Demon guns, damn it.
You can't go wrong with that. Jeez.
Oh. Yeah. Hell of a lot of fun. Definitely worth it. We want to thank Ugly Americans for sponsoring this episode. And if you are going to the San Diego Comic-Con, you want to make sure you get to the Ugly Americans panel. That is on Friday, July 23rd from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. in room 25 ABC. The panel will feature several voices from the cast, including Randy Perlstein, Matt Oberg, Kurt Metzger, and executive producers David M. Stern and Dan Powell, and the series creator Devin Clark. And this is actually the really cool thing. If you are there in the panel, at the panel, you could be chosen. One lucky audience member will be chosen to be drawn into an upcoming episode this season. So that's really cool.
That's awesome.
If they pick me, will they draw me thinner?
I don't believe. I bet they will draw you comedically. So pretty much spot on.
Stupid drawers.
Yeah. Also from Comedy Central, you want to make sure you check out the Futurama panel the next day, Saturday, July 24th, 12:45 to 1:30 p.m. That's going to be a big one, by the way. Yeah. All the people from that show and the
oh my god, it's going to be packed. If you want to be in that one, you want to go early too.
Especially now it's back. Yeah, geez.
Yeah, that's it's like that. And then finally, the last bit on Saturday night, the 24th, from 7 to 9 at the House of Blues, Comedy Central is throwing a live show, live comedy show hosted by Pete Holmes, with performances by Maria Bamford, Adam Devine, Chris Gethard, Kurt Metzger, Matt Oberg, Randy Perlstein, Horatio Sanz, and Nick Swardson. Big names there, people.
Wow.
It's a free comedy event. It's a free show.
Yeah, with headliners, real big names, people you've seen, people who are funny. So you want to make sure you go to that. And we are going to have some passes to that. It's a free event for anybody who wants to go, but what we have are guaranteed entry passes, which means screw the line. So we're going to be on the floor, and we will have passes with us. And so what I'm saying is watch for your Twitter. We'll update you over the course of this week on the website how that's going to go down. But so keep your eye. There's going to be a red post at the top of ifanboy.com with more information on that. But we got stuff to give away. So follow Ugly Americans at facebook.com/ugly Americans or twitter.com/ugly Americans. And thank you very much.
Cool. So Ultimate Spider-Man number 12.
Yes, I wrote this.
You didn't write this.
You didn't write this. Bendis wrote it.
That's true.
Are you Brian Michael Bendis? Sure. Why didn't you tell us? It's been 10 years.
What? I got to go talk to John Sutton.
Who is that guy we're always talking to? Is he an actor? Did you hire him?
I put this in the script is what I meant. The point is I am just continually impressed that after that first 100 and however many issues run, they reboot it and they come back and like every one of these is so much fun. And this one was fun because it was written from a different point of view. Peter Parker wasn't anywhere near it. There was this like, it was uncomfortable the whole way through, and you're like, oh, somebody figure this out.
This is great. This chameleon storyline is fantastic, but the true story of this issue was LaFuente nailed it.
Yeah,
like this might be his strongest issue.
Yeah,
And every issue's been great.
Yeah,
the story. This is the chameleon in the last issue took over Peter Parker. So in this issue, he has inserted himself into Peter's life, and it's been him trying to figure out just what the hell is going on around this kid's life.
I love
it. Asking any questions. So why do these have these strange roommates? Who is this old woman? Why does you know, these things, these weird things happen to him? And then suddenly he figures out at the end, he discovers that he opens a trunk and finds the costume. But it was, you're right, Josh, it was kind of like, Why does someone figure it out? Stop him. He's going to kiss me. Oh, he kissed Mary Jane.
That was so uncomfortable.
Oh, that was great.
The scene with Flash was fantastic. Yep. And just, it's good all the way through.
Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff.
Unwritten number 15. This is a book that makes me feel stupid. There's a lot of literary references to things that I either didn't read or don't remember. the narrative is still strong enough to carry through, but there were pages where I was like, I don't understand this. I don't know why this is here, and I just feel like I didn't pay enough attention. At one point, this is really interesting. At one point, they talk about Merlin, and they go to his one of his resting places, and there's a shot in the middle of the book, and literally I'm like, I'm pretty sure they drew that as Alan Moore.
Nice.
I neither of you are reading this, right?
Nope.
I'm reading in trade. I changed the trade. Yeah.
Well, he's got Spider Jerusalem tattoos, and then like from the neck up, I was like, that's Alan Moore.
Nice.
And so they're going to find something to do with Merlin, and there was a big sort of a plot twist on the vampire who's hunting them down. And one of the things I really just like is I don't quite know what's going to happen or what's going on. Not like I'm lost in that way, but like it's just there's a lot of things swirling around, and anything could happen.
Should have paid attention in English class.
I know. I barely made it through the Rudland Kipling.
I feel like this book needs an index, like the From Hell index.
Yeah. That would just make it take longer to read.
That's an index. It's a, what is it, the appendix or annotations or whatever? Yeah.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
You know what's funny about Chew number 12 is I read it on Wednesday, and on that same day I turned the TV on, and it's the Little Jerry Seinfeld episode of Seinfeld.
Little Jerry Seinfeld?
Little Jerry Seinfeld.
Never has a cockfighting rooster been so funny. When the moment when Chew shoots the lock off his cage, and they show the rooster with the luchador mask on, and the word balloon of the skull and crossbones made me laugh.
He's got that grim determination in his eye.
Yep. This was great. Basically, Tony Chew goes undercover to unravel a cockfighting ring. That sounded weird. and this was great. This is a year later, man. This was remember by this point last year we were talking. It was issue 12. Yeah, it's exactly a year. I just can't believe how inventive every issue of this gets.
You know, the only thing about this that lost me a little bit when they switched from the office into the diner, and I was like, oh, I realized a page later he was talking to Chew, but he was in disguise.
Yeah, I kind of like that though. That made me laugh.
Yeah, no, and once I figured it out, it was fine. But it works in real life. But in a comic, when you change his hair color, and his everything.
Oh, really? You didn't get that? I got his facial structure was exactly the same.
It was, and that's fine.
It did take me a moment. Yeah, but.
They also said he was going to go out and do this thing. You've got a new partner. Cut to, you know, new guy.
Yeah.
It was really hot Wednesday.
I understand. I was out there with you. Yeah. In the trenches.
So Astonishing Spider-Man and Wolverine number 2 by Jason Aaron and Adam Kubert. Two words for you. Phoenix gun. Awesome. Unbelievably awesome.
I love how over the top this book is.
It's crazy. It
revels in Marvel and doesn't adhere to any continuity because it's on its own. It's an astonishing book, so it doesn't get bogged down in it, but it just it also sort of celebrates it without really making you understand. You can tell how much Jason Aaron loves Marvel and its history.
Oh, it's hysterical. This is like
Jason Aaron's version of Doctor 13.
Yeah.
Where like everybody thinks of him as being one way.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, oh, yeah, look at what I can do here.
Yeah, like when Brian Azzarello did Dr. 13. Yeah, totally. Yeah. This is great. And I mean, the whole genesis of it is that, you know, they're screwed up with the time stream and the whole world, they're in the future and everything's awful and they've been there for years and they're trying to save the world from Doom, the living planet, because Doom is merged with the Ego, which is hysterical.
Planet.
And basically Spider-Man finds an ultimate weapon, which is the Phoenix Force contained in a bullet. And there's a gun. There's a gun with the little Phoenix logo on it.
Because you would do that.
No.
You don't want to mix it up with the other guns.
Oh, just great. Oh, Phoenix gun. Genius. So great, great, great series so far.
You know what else is really great and almost surprising is Justice League Generation Lost.
Got way better. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's great right now. Yeah. Yep.
This might be my pick of the week. I haven't decided yet, but
this was really strong. It was really strong.
This was a great issue, and it's funny. Someone online described it as bringing dignity back to the JLI, and it totally is. So they're not played as jokes. They're not played as hams. They're not the butt of the series. They are totally straight up the heroes of this book, and they're kicking ass and taking names, and it's really strong.
Yeah.
Really strong.
Yeah. No vaudeville.
Those jokes. There's totally jokes, and it's funny at parts. I mean, the Rocket Red is funny in that fucking Russian way, and he hates capitalism but wants to be more justly because it's cool.
Yeah.
But they're still played as serious heroes. They're not screwing around.
I mean, there's some comedy, but it's pretty heavy. I mean, this is like there are some heavy moments, and I thought Captain Atom was great. I thought all the Booster Gold framing sequences were excellent. You really feel this team gel together, and he's doing Max Lord. You know, he's as menacing as he should be, and it's great. This is, I mean, I remember I was the first couple issues.
You were on the fence,
yeah. But now I'm totally on it. So good times.
It's a great book. This is the best Justice League book that's going out right now.
Yeah. So those are all the books that came out this week that we enjoyed. But at ifanboy.com/comics, you see the whole list of all the comics that came out. You can write, you can go there and do your pull list, and then come back on Wednesday and write reviews and rate them. And we have a couple of reviews to share with you from the iFan base. Neb read the Thanos Imperative number 2, or Thanos Imperative number 2, depending on how you pronounce it. He gave the story 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And at the time of this recording, 8.2% of you made it your pick of the week, which is kind of awesome. And Neb says, I can't remember when the last issue came out, but I don't care. This issue was completely awesome. This is high concept, cosmic awesomeness at its best. While the series has been a lot of fun so far, this issue just ups the ante. The story finds our heroes in the midst of a battle with the forces pouring from the fault, and just as all looks lost, the Silver Surfer shows up. Of course, this leads to some big badassery along with an amazing 2-page spread featuring some big reinforcements. I totally agree with this. I know we were worried about Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy going on hiatus, but this has totally been worth it.
All right, fine.
Are you not reading it, or?
I took a hiatus.
Oh, man. It's so good. It's basically it's them all together. It's Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy merged with Thanos. It's awesome. Yeah, that's great. So, I love these
guys. Sure, it's good.
Abnett Lanning are so good, and the big. Although I gotta admit, though, the artist on it, whose name is escaping me, last name is Sepulveda. What
you get? Stuck
you did not want to be stuck
in
Sepulveda.
Although it's you don't want to get stuck on the 405, so you can get off just after you go over the.
Miguel Sepulveda draws an awful Silver Surfer, like really bad. But but other than that, the big reinforcements at the end were all that was like Galactus and all the Celestials, which is all whenever the Celestials get involved, that's awesome. So
for a moment there, it was like the show 5 years ago.
Why?
I was just
Josh
would
talk
Ron,
about the traffic.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the traffic.
I was
stuff,
just impressed that Ron could pronounce Sepulveda.
Sepulveda.
So that's a tough one.
All right.
Next up, Project X2. Oh, the monkeys come back.
That movie makes me weep.
Oh, no.
God, when the monkey's looking into the... he doesn't know what's happening.
Was that the Matthew Broderick movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it the Manhattan Project? No, that was the bomb.
No. It's when they're testing.
Project X2 writes of Invincible Iron Man 28. We give the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 4 out of 5. The pick of the week percentage is a 0.04%. Not only is this title my favorite Marvel comic, but Fraction and the Rook have managed to turn Tony Stark into one of my favorite characters as well. I see a lot of complaints about the lack of action and how there's too much talking. This is my favorite thing about it. Invincible Iron Man doesn't need action. I've already seen Iron Man fight other Iron Men hundreds of times before. It's essentially the same thing over and over. But what I haven't seen is someone like Tony Stark gathering a group of like-minded individuals to save the world, not by being superheroes, but by being creators.
Comic creators?
I don't disagree with you, but I didn't read it because I've decided that I do want to read this, but I don't. I want to read it in trade.
Right. Okay, so you're not completely abandoning it. You're going
to
do it.
No, you seem to like it better when you read a collection. When you've read issues, you've jumped off of it, but you've come back through reading trades.
Well, we did the Books Bloat about it, where we talked about it, and I read the whole first omnibus, which is the first 20 issues or something, 19 issues or something like that. It read much better like that. It's fairly decompressed, and what he's you know, like the, you know, there's just long periods of time where nothing happens, or the same thing happens for issues and issues. There's tons of character exploration. So I like it better in one piece.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so go to ifanboy.com/comics and do your pull lists and then write a review, and we'll get it on the show at some point if it's worthy. And I don't know what the criteria that is. We just pick the ones we like. All right, so and if you go to the pull list and you see all these comic books you need to buy, and maybe your local comic book store doesn't get them, or maybe your local comic book store isn't so local and you got to drive a far distance, or maybe you don't have a local comic book store, you should take a look at Discount Comic Book Service, also known as DCBS. Offers monthly specials up to 75% off. Then you got 40% off all the major publishers out there. Anything you order, you get flat rate shipping of $5.95 on all the domestic U.S. orders, which is awesome if you're buying lots of books. And then you can get anything that's in previews. They've got over 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock, including, and I feel like our friends on 11 O'Clock Comics always mention this, and we should mention it, they've got Steve Ditko stuff in stock at DCBS, believe it or not. Steve re-released Steve Ditko stuff and new stuff from Ditko. So
Mr. A.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. A.
Exactly. They do have Mr. A. So right. So go to dcbservice.com, get all your weekly comics. They ship them. You can get a box once a month, every 2 weeks, whatever you want. They'll take care of it. It's all DCB Service. You can track your orders online. It is wonderful. Go to dcbservice.com.
Ron?
Yes.
I would like a box every hour.
Okay, I can do that.
However you want it, it says, right?
Yeah. However you want it. However you want it.
Let me tell you something about 11 O'Clock Comics. I don't know what the hell comics are talking about half the time. how old are those people? This is really wonderful horror stuff.
Oh, be nice. Vince is great.
I don't know shit about comics when I listen to that.
Well, maybe you should take some notes.
I don't have any more time in my life.
Vince does have some very, very specific taste. He and I talked to Chicago, and we were relating on our weird, you know, kind of vague creator taste.
It's funny how, we have a fairly big show about comics. Yeah. I'd say in the comic world, we're up there.
We're doing okay.
I can talk to people who read comics and I'll have no idea what they're talking about. I'll feel like I'm like, I don't.
That's because you don't read any.
No, that's not true. That's what's so great about comics. That's all.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's such a wide variety.
Yeah.
Moving on to your emails.
Also, Josh doesn't respect the past. So there's that.
That's so not true. I'm now not going to go along with these salacious innuendos about
it. It used to be true. There was a time when you said Kirby didn't matter.
I never said that. You find where I said that.
Connor?
Dude, you wouldn't read or watch anything over the 5 years.
That's what you said.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Let's move on. Kyle G. writes and says, what do you guys think about certain characters like Batman, Spider-Man, X-Men, Superman, and Deadpool, etc., having multiple ongoings? What do you guys think about us fanboys who tend to get so annoyed whenever we see a character with four or five ongoing books? I can't put my finger on it, but we always seem to get so upset whenever new multiple ongoings are announced, especially recently with all the Deadpool books, Thor books, and even the new Batman The Dark Knight book with David Finch. We know we don't have to buy them, but we still cry foul whenever we see them. What do you guys think about this? Do we as fanboys prefer less instead of more? Thank you, guys. Lots of we there.
Yeah, I'm not subscribing to your newsletter. I'm not this us fanboys and we and with A. Everybody reacts differently. B, there's a lot of wackadoos out there. No. I see what you're saying. I do think that it's an economics thing. That's what I think a lot of people don't get. And then half the people go, ugh, I don't want to buy a fifth Wolverine title. But the secret is, then they do buy it.
And that's why there's a fifth one.
Well, that's the problem is that we, you know, with these books, with these tight continuities and stuff that's going on, we feel as if you need to, when you're a Batman fan, an X-Men fan, an Avengers fan, all these books come out, and it's like, well, I have to read them all so I know what's going on. And it's that moment of zen clarity that you get to as a comic fan after a certain number of years when you realize, I don't have to read everything that's coming out. You know, like, for example, like, I'm buying Avengers and New Avengers and Secret Avengers, but I decided I don't need Avengers Academy, and I'm not buying it, you know? So.
I think – no, you're absolutely right, and that's the way that I approach it. And when I get annoyed is when you're going along like that and it's fine because you've got one guy writing one book that you like and another one that's not your thing. And then they do a crossover, and you have to decide, well, I'll either read half of this, start buying the one I didn't want, or just get out for the duration.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
Yeah. Well, they don't get me that way.
Yeah.
The crossovers work, though.
No, and they totally – and I economically, I understand. I can't blame them. If they're going to be able to sell five Deadpool titles a month, more power to them. Go for it. Just don't read them.
Yeah.
the whole thing about feeling like you need to read everything because I'm a fan of this character, I think,
is bullshit.
Well, it's a waste of money because you're definitely, in that case, you're buying four Wolverine books a month. You're definitely not enjoying all.
And I can guarantee of all the Wolverine books, there's only one you should be reading. Mm-hmm. Which is the one by
the one that got canceled.
Yeah, no. Well, no, he's doing the new book. He's in the new series. But they took Ron Garney away from them. They gave him some shitty Avatar-esque artist.
Yes.
But anyway, so. I really feel, we were talking about this in my comic book store, we really feel as if there's someone inside Marvel is plotting against Jason Aaron because they keep putting, like, they put him on Wolverine and then they change it to Dark Wolverine and give him Wolverine Weapon X and he's got, you know, like, there's something working against him at Wolverine. I don't know why.
But you know what? He probably got the one that he wanted to work on. It's just that.
Well, because no one bought it because it wasn't the quote-unquote real Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Which is, instead, the they bought the Dakin story because that was in the middle of Dark Reign that nobody actually liked because nobody seems to like the character.
Oh, he's
awful. I don't know, maybe somebody did. I don't even know. I haven't read it. What am I saying? But I don't think there's any doubt that the stuff that was going on in Jason Aaron's book was better.
Right, yeah. But then so then they put him on the Wolverine book finally and they give him a shit artist.
Well, he's not shit. He's just wrong for the character. He's Renato Gaitis. He's a good artist.
Yeah. Anyway.
Renato Gaitis is not a shit artist. He is wrong for that.
But he's wrong for the – look at the pages. It's not good.
He's wrong for Wolverine, but he's not a bad artist.
Yeah.
James Feaster. Which is a fun name to say. James Feaster says, I want to start reading the Wildcats comics, but I don't know anything about them at all. Where do I start? Well, long-time listeners will know this is my favorite kind of question. I started reading Wildcats Volume 2, Issue Number 9.
Okay.
If I can do it, you can.
Nice. I like to hear that. That's good. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, the fact is there's been all sorts of restarts, and I mean, there's a current series going on now. They restarted with number one. If you go backwards, you could find that. There's probably a trade. Yeah. You can go and read Alan Moore's Complete Wildcats or James Robinson's Complete Wildcats. Each of those explain plenty. They really
need to collect Jim Lee's original miniseries.
Do they?
The fact that that's not collected right now is a bit of a shame, I think.
Who wrote that?
Brandon Choi and Jim Lee.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can read. I don't know if all of Joe's are collected. I don't know.
They're re-releasing them.
Yeah,
they're coming back out, aren't they? I thought I read that.
That's where I started. And that's what I would tell you. But in the early 2000s, they started again. They started Volume 2. The first 8 of them were written by Scott Lobdell, and I think not drawn by Travis Charest. I started right after that, but I didn't even start on the first issue. I say start with the best ones to me are the Joe Casey Volume 2 and Volume 3.
Yeah, if they are indeed re-releasing the Joe Casey ones, which I think they are, I would say get those because those are a modern take on it and it was kind of cool and everything. But
Sean Phillips on art in those. They're beautiful, beautiful books.
Yeah.
Those are the best ones. It sort of is where you need to start. You could start at number one of the most current volume. That we did a show about it. We talked about them. It's sort of the world after the world's end or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But – you know, just pick some up, see if you like them.
Yeah, just give it a shot. Pick up the current issue. Just give it, you know.
All sorts of places.
And look online. The characters are all listed online. You read the Wikipedia entry and get an idea of what's happened in the book, and then just go, you know, why does anyone use the internet? You emailed us.
You can very easily go to you know, like, get the Alan Moore book. I mean, like, the story's in progress, but you are not going to have a single problem understanding what's going on.
At all.
None.
All right. So if you have a question, email us at contact@ifanboy.com. And we also get voicemail. And our first voicemail's got a question about something I keep hearing about. I have no idea what it is.
Hey, this is Shelley from Pennsylvania. And I was calling you iFan people because today the Harvey Awards came out. And for 6 of the nominations, we've got the Wimpy Kid books. And those are books. They're not comic books. They're illustrated kids books. And I know there's some librarians I've talked to that are enraged by this, but there's been little reception in the comic book community. And since we're such a community that usually protects what we love, I was kind of surprised. What do you guys think? Whether or not you're familiar with the books, I'm pretty sure 6 nominations for a kid's book should not go home with a Harvey. Thanks. See you guys later. Bye.
Well, at least it's not NASCAR Heroes number 5 again.
Whew. What's the expiration date on that one?
Here's the thing with the Harveys is that it's the Harvey Awards. You could, if you believe a book should be nominated, you can nominate next year. Like, it's open to everyone. So apparently some people think that Diary of a Wimpy Kid is worthy of getting a Harvey. I don't know anything about this book. I hear it spoken about in context of comics and graphic novels, but I don't know. So
I know that it is bigger by exponential effect than almost any comic book on that you will know, actual comic book you will know of. It's like a really big deal. A movie's coming out.
Yep.
I don't know.
But if it's an illustrated prose book, then you get into a murky territory.
Yeah.
That being the case, I mean, there's a very weird question. What is comics?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, like, think about what about that issue of Alias where it was just a screenplay on the side of some drawing, you know, like,
Yeah.
Like,
but that was one issue of a series. I mean, like, right, that's, I think it's okay. It's just, it gets to a weird.
I would like.
I mean, this is what I'm saying.
I would like to clarify that. I'm looking on the Powell's Books website, which is the link from the Diary of a Wimpy Kid website to buy the first volume. And the product details, subject, humor stories, subject, comics and graphic novels, general, subject, humor, school, peer pressure, graphic novels. So they're categorizing it as a graphic novel.
And I heard it first described as a graphic novel. I haven't seen it. I don't know. I'm sure there will be comments on it.
It makes a lot of money from what I've heard.
It takes a lot of money.
Yes.
There's been several volumes. It's a big deal. I believe it won Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah.
I know that.
it's in that weird area, nebulous area that maybe, you know, depending on how you define what comics are. But, you know, I think more power to them. If it's a success, obviously they're doing something right. So
it's like Lady Gaga showing up at, like, the CMJ Awards. What are you doing here?
The CMJ Do Awards?
I don't know, but that was the closest I could think of. What's an indie, it's like Avatar winning an American Spirit Award. How's that?
Indie Spirit Award, yeah. There you go.
Okay.
So, all right,
American
good.
Spirit's a cigarette.
they have cigarette awards.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's
You funny. Know, it's been over 100 here for a week, right?
complain. All right, cool. So if you have a question about some award ceremony or the Eisners that are going to be announced at San Diego this week, call us on our voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. And let's just get on with it.
Hey, people out there listening to the show right now. Hi. How are you? If you listen to this show and all of our other shows every week, maybe you find we enhance your comic book reading experience and you think, how can I help these guys who make my comic books more fun? Well, there's lots of ways people out there listening to the show. Here they are. Click on the banners when they come back. We don't know when that will be, but they will be back at some point. When they come back, please click on them because they will be very happy to receive your traffic. And then they will say, hey, thank you, iFanboy.
Soon. Hopefully by the time this is released, the banners will be back.
I know that people can't wait for their ads to come back.
Go to iFanboy.com/Amazon. That will take you to the Amazon store. Click on the Powered by Amazon button. That takes you to the Amazon.com website. That means when you buy things from that website, we get a piece of that. No more charge with you. I'm seriously losing my mind. I don't know why I'm talking like this. You can buy the shirts from iFanboy.com/store. We got Fury Agent shirts. We got about 5 Battle Puck shirts, all in small sizes. So don't order if you're a large person. You know, hefty.
You were going to say large man, but you decided to make that gender neutral, and I appreciate that.
So check those out at iFanboy.com/store. And the best way to help us out is to become an iFanboy member for $4 a month or $42 a year. Or $10 a month, $100 a year, you can get an iFanboy member. You get a prize pack with stickers, buttons, a comic book from our collection. And if you're at the higher level, you get a t-shirt. And you get eligible for giveaways. We're going to do giveaways again after San Diego. I've got some ideas for stuff to give away. I haven't even talked to these guys yet about it. I don't even know, but it could be potentially very exciting.
You're not giving away my stuff again, are you?
Listen, the car is old.
Give me the money.
So help us out if you can. We really appreciate it. And thank you for listening.
Want the money.
Cool. So a couple of programming notes. We have another podcast called iFanboy Don't Miss. Comes out every Monday where we talk to a creator about a comic book that's coming out that you definitely shouldn't miss. Last week
every
I talked
Monday?
To, not this Monday. Last week I talked to Zeb Wells about New Mutants number 15, which I thought was coming out last week, but it's coming out this week. So listen to that one again because we're taking this week off because we're going to San Diego. So we're taking a week off, so deal with it. But go subscribe to iFanboy Don't Miss and write a review. It's wonderful.
Deal with it.
But you are not hurting for podcast content, my friends. Not one bit. I talked to IDW editor Andy Schmidt about one of his new book coming out, 5 Days to Die, and we answered your questions from the website. And we talked about all sorts of things from his work to comics experience, the place where you can learn how to make comics to how the industry works and all sorts of stuff for an hour and a half.
Wow.
And he was hacking up by the at the end. We burned a lot of tape. So that was a nice talk about the comics industry. So make sure you listen to that. Talks blowed.
Yes.
Did you settle the Optimus Prime versus Snake Eyes scenario? Or?
Yeah, we did. I was trying to remember how it. Well, you'll have to listen, won't you?
Oh, yeah.
We definitely hashed it out. And we actually got into the point. I was like, "Well, which Snake Eyes are we talking about? Are we or like issue 10 Larry Hama Snake Eyes?" It's a good. You know what? It was a good answer.
Okay.
Right.
Hey, San Diego Comic Con is this week. If you're listening to this show early in the week, then you know it's coming up. If you listen to it later in the week, then it's already happened. Either way, this is the week for San Diego Comic Con. If you're going to San Diego and you're listening to this before the con, here's how you can find us. Here's all you need to know about iFanboy San Diego.
We are out in full force this year, by the way. I am impressed.
It's a little bit intimidating. First of all, we have
Connor's number. Is that all we have to do?
We have an iFanboy/graphically booth. It's booth number 2229. That's 3 2s and a 9. It's right there in the middle of the floor between the Marvel and DC booths. Prime placement.
Just
look
for the big graphically logo hanging. There's gonna be a big sign hanging. So
yes, you can find the graphically folks there the whole week talking about graphically. You can go there to learn about it, and we will be there intermittently whenever we decide we'd like to sit, which is a lot. How is what we learned in Chicago?
Yes.
Once you put us in the booth, we tend to not want to ever get up again. So you can come by look for us there, and we're having signings with creators. So you can check that out on Thursday from noon to one. Rick Remender will be signing. He's going to be giving away Fear Agent trades and T-shirts and Last Days of American Crime stuff. So check that out noon to one.
Rick really embraced this appearance, by the way. He's really like he was like, "Can I give stuff away?" I'm like, "Okay, sure." So if you've been curious about Fury Agent, if you like him, you possibly could win that stuff, and he'll sign it for you. It's gonna be awesome. So.
You're willing to be near him after that awkwardness?
Yes, I am. Yes,
10 feet at all times. 10 feet at all times. From 3 to 4 p.m. on Thursday, you'll find Peter Krause or Krause. He's the artist on Irredeemable. One of our favorite books. You can find him there signing from 3 to 4 at our booth. Friday from 1 to 2, you'll find Jamie McKelvey. From 3 to 4:30, Ron Mars and Michael Broussard from Top Cow. From 5 to 6, Mike Norton will be there signing. And Saturday, 1:30 to 2:30 p.m., Mike Norton will be back. And 4 to 5, Kieran Gillen will be there. So we have lots of signings. We will be there during the signings. We'll be even interviewing them on camera before or after the signings. So come by, check that out. You can watch the interviews. You can meet the creators. You can meet us. There'll be swag. We'll have buttons and stickers and all kinds of stuff to give away. So come by, check out our booth, 2229. That's in the middle of the floor.
Yes.
Thursday is the Comics Podcasting Panel, the fifth anniversary panel, by the way. The fifth one. Josh will be on that panel along with a bunch of other comics podcasters from 5 to 6, room 32AB. You excited, Josh? Or?
Well, I started the first one. This is my baby. I'm closing it down. That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna get loaded. I'm gonna speak my mind.
You're going to get frisky on that
panel. Yeah. Yeah, just saying. That one guy's going to be happy he didn't show up. Because the third year is when it got tight.
It got saucy, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, Friday, the Digital Comics panel. That's from 3 to 4 o'clock in the same room, 32AB, and that's when Ron is actually moderating that panel.
Yep.
He's going to be attempting to hold that together with guys like Ben Templesmith and James Simon, our boss Miha, and a bunch of people will be on that panel talking about digital comics.
Yes.
And finally, every year, people like to come to the iFanboy party. It's become a thing. Last year, it was nuts. This year promises to be even better. Thursday night is the party. Usually it's Friday, but this time it's Thursday. Thursday from 7:30 to 11 p.m. at the House of Blues San Diego, which is at 1055 Fifth Avenue between Broadway and C Street. That's going to be the live Dignation show, but we're going to combine that with the Totally Rad show and iFanboy get-together. So all the shows are going to be there. That's where our party's going to be. Come by 7:30 to 11. Come early.
Come early, and the big thing about that is if you are of the cosplay variety, you're going to want to show up in costume because there's going to be a costume contest that we will be participating in the judging of, and the winners will be Josh just found out on the podcast right now.
I was excited to come in costume.
Oh, okay, where? Yeah, you can come in costume.
He was going to just this hope.
But
I didn't know what I was.
So the winners of the costume contest will get brought up on stage during Dignation, and it's going to be a big ordeal. And there's also going to be very cool prizes from the sponsors. I can tell you, I've got a little insight, and it's actually – I was like, oh, made me consider dressing up in a costume. So
ordeal is usually a negative word.
So come dressed up in costume, and we're going to be sharing the judging duties with the Totally Rad Show guys, and maybe we'll be a little swayed by members of the iFan base. So if you listen to the show and you're a fan of iFanboy, tell us.
I want to see somebody
take bribes.
I want to see somebody come dressed as Ron.
Yes, there's the challenge.
That would win. I would get my vote right now. Come dressed as Ron. And I don't mean like just throw some cardboard. I want to see like Ron.
I want to see like Ron t-shirt. I want jeans. Yeah, I want the hair teased up.
That jacket. And just like phone glued to his hand.
Oh, fuck off.
I want so many Rons like the end of V for Vendetta. Can you imagine just look out of sea of Ron?
Oh, dear Lord. So, yeah, so come to the House of Blues Thursday night. There's a link on the page to RSVP on Facebook. Let us know you're coming. It should be – the House of Blues is huge. It holds like 1,000 people. It should be enough to get everybody in, but there will be a line. It's going to be super popular, so make sure you get there early.
Come early if you're coming for that fanboy party. Make sure you get in there.
And seriously, if you're going to the con and you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter. Follow us at twitter.com/ifanboy because we're going to be posting as well as our personal accounts. I'm at RonXO, Connor's at CS Kilpatrick, Josh is at JA Flanagan. We're going to be Twittering constantly. If you want to meet up with us, we want to meet you, we want to say hi, it'll be great. So Twitter's the best way to kind of track us down. So if we're even at the con, we might just stay in Ocean Beach the whole week.
I'm not making any guarantees.
So I'm excited for San Diego.
Yeah.
I'm the only one, apparently.
I'm excited to get that away from the fucking heat.
Yeah.
This is what it sounds like when I'm excited now.
Great, excellent.
His will's been broken.
All right, let's wrap this up. So go to ifanboy.com where you can find all the great stuff about San Diego as well as all the other cool stuff. This week has been epic in the world of iFanboy. You can check out, we had the scoop on the Green Lantern Ryan Reynolds photos from Entertainment Weekly. And we welcome all of you folks who came from other websites to check that out who now discovered the podcast. None of you did.
Show's stupid.
But it was a great week. So read all the great writing, Paul and Jim and Mike and Molly and Ryan and everybody else who was writing on the site this week. Awesomeness. So go to ifanboy.com. Don't miss it all at all. We also do a video show. Every Wednesday comes out, and you can get that on ifanboy.com or at revision3.com/ifanboy. Last week we were looking at the origins of comic characters, which I thought was a really good episode, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Fun.
This week we're doing a little anthology episode about San Diego and conventions and things like that. So I'll be curious to see how it comes out. So it might sound weird, but bear with it. So
I know I look like Grim Death.
Yes, you do. I look like shit, too. Connor, you're editing. I mean, we look bad, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to both of you.
I'll be honest. I had a rough week.
I look like a True Blood vampire. My eyes just aren't bloodshot. They're just red all around them. I'm sweaty. I'm wearing a hat. It's not that I don't care. That was the best I could look.
Yeah.
Ron's got that like droopy eye he gets when he gets super tired.
Yeah.
I want to see that on your costume. I really want you to go for it. I want to see like an oversized Met shirt. I want you to smell vaguely of pasta. I want this to
That's
work.
That's racist.
It's not racist.
I don't think it is. We're both white.
It's ethnicness-ist. Anyway, but it's mean no matter what. But yeah, so.
You tell me you don't like pasta?
I love it.
I listened to you on a podcast and I go, I'm Italian. I need to eat pasta. You said that.
I didn't know you listened to that podcast.
Philip is just so dreamy.
Anyway, moving on.
I don't know where we are. Okay, you can email us. I'm just riffing. You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave us a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS 326-2697. Any questions, comments, concerns? What? I got a 2-minute voicemail today. I was like, I can't use this. I need to tell my jokes. So keep it short enough that, you make your point, get in, get out, tell us who you are, that kind of things. Do good. Give us good questions. You will be rewarded.
And finally, if you like this show, please write a review on iTunes. It helps people find the show. We're doing the push to 1,000 reviews. We're somewhere in the 600 to 700 range. We're not going to look it up. It takes a while to open up iTunes these days. So please write a review for this show, for the Don't Miss show, for the talks. No, that's on the same feed. For this show, for the Don't Miss show, for the Taste of Comics show, for Around Comics that doesn't exist anymore, for Word Balloon, for Palmer's the Flash, for the video show.
Yeah.
Just write a review. If you listen to a podcast, it really helps them to write a review for anybody.
Everybody
show.
Go to 11 o'clock comics and write reviews for them and compare them to us. So say it's good. Not as good as iFanboy, but it's good.
Let's try that. Let's start that war again.
I know. I'm
Somebody busy. Called into there and just hated us.
I know. Really? I haven't listened to this week's. Really?
No, this was like a few weeks ago.
Oh, shit. I must have missed it when I was working. Oh, fuck.
Just whatever happens, don't let any of the iFanboy guys on.
What?
Nice.
I got to go back and listen to that, bastards. Jesus. Anyway.
I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to call them?
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Well, I've got to go do laundry before San Diego. So until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.